Well, thank the Lord for that.
Don't ever forget about your salvation.
Amen. It's a precious thing. And I thank you, Miss Tanya, for singing that. And I don't think they'll mind me saying this, but most of the time Miss Tanya's sick. She has a kidney disease, I guess you would say. And as if she has kidney stones every day of her life. And the pain there. And so I know that I'm glad that she's here. And glad that the Lord's using them in a mighty way. And I think sometimes we forget about, because we're spoiled rotten, that every church has a good choir and good piano players, but they don't. The reason I know how to play the piano is because I went to a church that didn't have one. And the Lord, I sat down with the Lord at the piano one day. I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll learn the piano. And that's how I learned the piano. I never had lessons. I had lessons for 2 weeks. And the lady told me, you probably just need to go on home. I went home. And me and the Lord met at a piano one day. And I'm telling you what, it's a vital, vital, vital part of the ministry. And if we lose our music in which we are there, good, godly music, then the church goes. You know, the first thing to go in a church is not the preaching. It's not necessarily the Bible. It's the music. It breaks my heart a lot of times. You go into these fundamental churches and go in the youth department, and the music's totally different. Now you got a rock concert going on. And I'm telling you what, it breaks my heart. It does. And so thank y'all for what you do. And I know you don't do it for glory and honor. If you did, you'd be in trouble. But you do it for the Lord. And I thank you, Brother McCormick, very much for that. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 will end up my series, my short 3-week series on the last days. I think a lot of times when you hear preaching on the last days, a lot of people want to give you a lot of statistics, a lot about Israel, what's going on in Israel, and a lot of things. There's so much you could say about the end times. If I were to say it, I would tell you that there's going to be signs in nature that are going to show us Jesus is coming back. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places, like in Azle, Texas. There's going to be floods, as it was in my hometown last week. The state of Florida was flooded out. I think it was 12 counties were flooded beyond repair. People were on their roofs. They said there are going to be pestilence and things that we'll see in this world. I believe we see the end is near. I believe I can give you signs in society that man is not going to be loving and caring. And I believe that we see that today, that people are going to be truce breakers. I believe we're going to see our young generation be ungrateful and unthankful. If I was to preach a sermon like this, I would say there's going to be spiritual signs. There's going to be a falling away. Also, I would tell you that there's going to be signs in politics. I gave my class Sunday the definition of politics. If you break the word politics down, poly meaning many, ticks meaning bloodsuckers. Many bloodsuckers, amen? I'm just using the word. There's going to be signs in politics. How? All one world. We're going to a one world government. Well, if I was to preach a sermon like that, I would tell you there's going to be signs of technology. Even Luke chapter 21 tells us that man's going to increase in knowledge in the day. We're going to have nuclear capabilities. We're going to have computers that can run everything. But we're there. I would also tell you there are signs in Israel that Israel must become a nation in itself and reestablish itself. And I think in 1948 it did. I believe also that there's going to have to be a reoccupying of Israel. And can I say in 1967 there was. Here's a good fact for you, if I was given facts tonight. In 1900 there were 40,000 Jews in Palestine. At the end of World War II there were 800,000 Jews in Palestine. Today there are more than 5.7 million Jews. They're coming home. Why is that? Because we're at the end times. And if I was to say today is that if I was going to preach a sermon on the end times and I was going to give you some facts about it, that I would say that you'd have to watch Russia, Magog, which is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, that Magog's going to come and it's going to invade Israel. But I'm not preaching that sermon tonight. Signs are here. But I think where we need to look is here. And when you look in, you will begin to look up. That's the title of my sermon tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You. Lord, we need help tonight. Lord, we see the end is near. And Lord, as we just heard, God, help us to never get over our salvation. Help us never to get over that we are in the presence of a King tonight. And Lord, how precious it is to be one of Your children. Thank You for that. Lord, I thank You that I'm not looking for a sign tonight. I'm looking for a Savior. And Lord, I know that He's coming soon. And Lord, if You come tonight, it wouldn't be too long. It wouldn't be too long to wait. Lord, I'm excited about You coming again. Help us now as we take Your Word and apply it to our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 3. I know none of you think I like the book of Revelation. The more I read the book of Revelation, the more I understand that I don't understand. But the more I do understand that Jesus is coming, and I see things happening, and I believe if we want to look at the end times and talking about the end times, we must look at what church is going to be in the end times. Well, the Bible gives us seven churches of Asia Minor as Paul stands on the Isle of Patmos by himself, just him and God. And God gives him the spiritual ability to look into the future and to see some things. But before John began to look into the future, Jesus said, I want you to look at the seven churches that are around you. These are the seven periods of church history as we know it. What day are we living in? We're living in the seventh. We're living in the last hour. We're living in that time. Matter of fact, the last days or the Laodicean age began in 1900. We know before that we had all the great revivals of the world and the Wells revival and all of these things that broke out in this world, and we see exciting things. But since 1900, there hasn't been that revival. Why? Because we're not winding up, we're winding down. By the way, if you believed in evolution, you'd be in trouble. Because we're not evolving. We're devolving, right? I want you to notice, if you will, verse 14. The Bible says that, and unto the angel, or the pastor of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen. Amen. I like that. The guy, the man, the God who says the last word. By the way, He is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. Notice what He says, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. By the way, God wants us to know where we are in life. The worst place you can be as a Christian is in the middle. The worst place we can be as a Christian is lukewarm. It's better if you know that you're either lost or you're saved, right? But it's also better to know whether you're living a spiritual life or you're not. Don't fool yourself. By the way, can't fool God. Remember what He just said in verse 15, the first part. He said, I know thy works. He sees. Notice if we go to verse 16, He says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Sounds a lot like the world today, doesn't it? And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I've overcame and am set down at my Father's Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to give us just a little bit tonight. I hope that it'll be a blessing. But Antiochus the Second had a wife. His wife was named Laodice. And the town of Laodicea was named after his wife. And we see that this Laodicean word simply means this: the rights of the people. The rights of the people. If you'll notice again in verse 1, we'll see something here. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. You notice, you see who possesses this church? No other statement is made about the other six churches like is made in verse 14. This is the church of the Laodiceans. By the way, this is not the church of the Haslanites. This is the church of the living God.
And this church, and if you look at the possession of this church, that it is the possession of the Laodiceans. By the way, that's the kind of church you're going to have in the end times, where the people possess the church instead of Christ Himself. Where was Christ at in this church? He's outside wanting to get in. Why? Because the people are holding the church and saying, this is the kind of church we want, and this is the kind of church we're going to have. Like a bunch of selfish babies and all around the world today. Well, I want a church that I want. Instead of saying, you know what, I want a church like Christ wants. And the way He's going to get a church like that is for me to be submissive to Him and to His will. Whew, boy, that gets you kicked out of church right there. A lot of people, I visit them all the time. You do too. Well, we're looking for a church for little Johnny. Where did we go wrong in church today, where we're looking for a place for little Jimmy to go play? Take him to Chick-fil-A. Amen. They got slides, chicken, and a big cow. I mean, you'd be happy there. Amen. But when you come to church, you ought to be looking for the Savior. Amen. You ought to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not against having programs for kids, but I'm saying is that whenever we start asking little Jimmy where you want to go to church, I'm pretty sure he's not going to pick an independent fundamental Baptist church. If I was little Jimmy, I would say, hey, take me to Chick-fil-A. Amen. You give your kids, if you tell your kids this, you say, look, Jimmy, every kid's name's Jimmy. My wife knows I use Jimmy a lot. If you say, Jimmy, do you want to go to Subway or McDonald's? What do you think that kid's going to say? Now, you may have a crazy kid that may be a health nut. May say, Subway, I want to eat fresh. But my kid would say, I want to go to McDonald's, right? And that's what the world we're living in today is, that the church is going to the people and saying, what kind of church do you want? And we will adapt to what you want. My friends, that's not what the Bible says. That in the last day, we know these churches are going to become churches of people instead of churches of believers. And we see that in the Laodicean church. What a sad church that was orchestrated by the people and not by God. I know that it was not orchestrated by God. Why? Because He's standing outside the door asking to come in. What a sad day we live in. Three things we'll see in the last day church. Number one, we'll see it compromising. We will see it compromising. Look, if you will, verse 15 and verse 16. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Hey, listen, the world has infiltrated our church and has said, this is what we want, and this is what's happened to the Laodicean church. They were neither hot nor cold. Why? Because you don't offend nobody. We live in a day where nobody wants to be offended. I can tell you right now, there's a church that I used to pastor. I'm not going to tell you. You got a choice of two. My wife can tell you. I preached the message one day, and I preached the Bible. I preached it right down the what God gave me. I got up, and as a good pastor does, I stand at the back door, and I hear everybody grunt and complain. I shake everybody's hand, and the lady was back there waiting on me. She looked like an old bull ready to come out. She was doing this, had a little nose ring in her nose. And I'm telling you what, she says, you made me mad today. Right there in front of everybody. I was like, me? She's like, yeah. You know what you did. You was preaching right at me today. And I'm going, let's go over here. And then I thought about, no, this is fun. Let's come back over here. Because you're telling on yourself. Yeah. Basically what she did, she got a flag and she said, hey, that message was for me and I don't want to get right. And I'm going to gripe at everybody else because I don't want to get right. And by the way, I hate that I offended her. And I always say, hey, if I said something in the flesh that offended you, I'm sorry. But if it was the Word of God, then you take that sword, that two-edged sword, and just let it pierce through. And you let it go. And what do? As He told the Laodicean church in verse 19, He said, repent. But we live in the age of compromising, where pastors are compromised, where churches are compromising. There's three things about this church. Number one, they were neutral. They were in neutral. By the way, there's a lot of churches in neutral. Don't ever be neutral in your life. You ought to always be going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever just park it and say, you know what, I'm just going to coast for a while. Hey, I'm telling you what, the devil will jump in your back seat And before long, he'll be in the passenger seat. And before long, he'll push you out of the driver's seat and push you over the passenger seat. And you'll never notice that he's driving your car. And if you ever get in neutral, hey, listen, the devil hates people that are in drive. Now, whether you're in first gear, second gear, third gear, you stripped every gear, but you're still going forward. Hey, the devil doesn't like that. The Laodicean church had taken their Christian car and put it in neutral and said, we'll just coast in this world. And the Lord said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. You're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, because you've compromised, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. The second thing, they were nauseating. They made God sick. By the way, one thing that as a pastor that you always pray, God, I hope my church is pleasing to you. Lord, I hope this church that you allow me to pastor, associate pastor. I know our pastor prays all the time. Lord, take control of this church because we want this church to be Christ-centered. Amen. I believe that even though we live in the last day and we live in these compromising times, as you read through the Bible, the Lord Jesus always had a remnant that stayed faithful. And I pray and hope that's Heritage Baptist Church. I hope and pray that that's Michael Wiggins. I hope that Michael Wiggins is always staying on the straight and narrow way with the Lord Jesus Christ and that I don't get to in God's line of sight and He gets nauseated at me because I'm compromise. But the last thing, they were non-effective. Because they were compromised, they were non-effective. By the way, just because a church has a lot of people doesn't mean that it's being effective. I heard a great illustration. Is that a deer gets hit, sits on the side of the road. That deer breaks your heart, don't it? Good meat go to waste. You go over there and you feel it. If it's not warm, then you're like, well, I can't get this one. If it's still warm, you still take it. But you go by that deer and he's been hit or she's been hit. You go back by there a couple more days. Guess what that deer does? It swells. Just because something's bigger doesn't mean it's better. By the way, some of the most effective churches in America today are small churches. And you know what? You know why they're that way? It's because they haven't compromised. They haven't said, you know what, I think we can have a little bit of the world in here and a little bit of God. But they missed in the Scripture where Jesus said that friendship with the world is enmity with God. That you can't have both worlds. And we think today we got to have the world in our church and we got to have God in our church. And if we mix them together, we'll reach a new generation. But we go against Scripture when we do that. And we live in the last days of compromise. Number two. We see that this church, these churches in the last days will be callous churches. We see that again in verses 17 through verse 19. They become hard. It says in verse 17, because thou say, I am rich and increase in goods and have no need of nothing. Notice this. And knowest not that thou art... They don't even realize that they're wretched, that they're miserable. Matter of fact, the word wretched, if you look it up in the English dictionary, it means worthless. By the way, I don't ever want to be worthless. I don't want God to put me on a shelf. Notice what he says, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said that you're calloused and you don't even know the hardness of your heart. You don't realize that you're cold and indifferent. And there's three reasons why they were cold and three reasons why that in that last day that they were calloused. Number one is because the reason they were calloused was because they had plenty. They had bountifulness. The city of Laodicea, if you study the history of it, it was a very rich city. It was a city of banking, if you study it. It was a city of banking during this time. They had it all. By the way, that's what he said. He said in verse 17, and have need of nothing. God help us if we ever get to the point in our life where we don't need God.
Amen.
I think one of the saddest things we do in our life is neglect our Savior. And instead of waiting until tragedy hits and saying, oh God, I need you real quick. But you know what? I figured out I need Him every day.
Yes, sir.
The old song we sing, I need Thee every hour, most precious Lord. We need Him. They were callous because of bountifulness. They were callous because of their bluntness. They were dull. We see that they were dull during the time of the last days. The churches will lose their effectiveness. They will become as blunt instruments. By the way, the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. We sharpen each other. When we're around each other, we should sharpen each other. We should be a sharp-edged tool. We see that the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, this is a sharp two-edged sword, piercing even the vine asunder of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the very thoughts. Whew. That we should never be dull. We see they were calloused because of what? Their blindness. It even said that they were blind. Lord, help us if we ever become spiritually blind in these last days. You know what's amazing? Is that Christ said, you're poor. He said, but I'll give you heavenly gold. He said, gold tried in a fire, verse 18. They were naked, and Christ said, I will clothe you, that thou mayest... He wanted to clothe them. By the way, they were blind, and Christ wanted to give them eye salve. You know what's amazing about the town of Laodicea? They were known for three things. I just told you one. They were known for finances. Number two, they were known for their clothing. Number three, you know what they were known for? This little pill that you crushed and then made a paste out of it and you put it on your eye as eye salve. That's what Laodicea was known for. You know what the three things he mentioned was? Notice what he said again in verse 17. He said, you're poor. I've got money, you know, just because, hey, the city had all it needed, right? The city was well off and they didn't need anything. He says, you're blind. I have eye salve for you, spiritual eye salve. I have spiritual gold for you. And he said that you're naked. He said, I've got spiritual clothing for you. He'll clothe you. But I see the last thing and the sad thing in the last days. You'll see this even today. It was a Christless church. Christ is outside in verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. By the way, the Lord wasn't just standing outside and knocking. By the way, you ever heard those knocks on your door and you go, I wonder who that is? This is not what's happening here. If you've been in my Sunday school class, you know I've taught this. Is that Jesus was not just standing out the door knocking and the church is going, I wonder who keeps knocking. Notice the rest of the verse. Read the verse. It says, if any man hear my voice. He's not just out there going like some salesperson. He's out there going, hey, this is Jesus Christ who bought and paid for the church with my own blood. I want in my church. I want to be welcome in my church. And inside that church building, not only did they have to ignore his knock, but they had to ignore his voice. You say, well, they didn't know who he was. The Bible says that my sheep know my voice. You know what's going to happen a lot of time to a lot of people when they get to heaven and they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that bema seat, and they're going to say, well, I didn't know it was you. Well, that's not going to hold up with the Lord. The last days, the Lord Jesus is outside knocking and saying, hey, I want to come in. I want to come in. And he said, I don't want to just come in and beat you up. That's not what the verse says. He said, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. Matter of fact, if you read Psalms, he says there's a table set before our enemies and the Lord comes and he sups with us and he fellowships with us. That's the kind of Savior we have. In the last days we see that there'll be powerless preachers, there'll be powerless peoples and people, and there'll be powerless prayers. I was reading the history of the city of Laodicea and I thought this was pretty interesting. Is that history tells us that the city of Laodicea had no ready source of water. So here's what happened. Hot water was piped in through a hot spring at Hippopolis. And then cold water was piped in through Colossae. By the way, there's a whole message there. But let me give you this. Hot water was piped in from Hippopolis. By the time it got to the city of Laodicea, it is said that the water was what? Lukewarm. On the other side, it was pumped in from Colossae. And it says that it was from a cold spring there in Colossae. But by the time it made the track through the world, by the time that fresh, clean, cold water came through the world and went through those rocks and went through those valleys, it is said by the time it reached the city of Laodicea that it was lukewarm. By the way, I believe that's what we're seeing in our churches today, is that we're piping in water. We're trying to get the water here, but by the time it gets through our cold hearts and our calloused hearts, it's lukewarm. By the way, the Word of God's still red hot. And the Holy Spirit still has a clear, cold water. Comes, and matter of fact, the Word of God says it's even water also. I believe this tonight. I believe we're living in the last days. Why? Because we can look at the churches
and see that we're living in the time of the Laodiceans. We're there. You say, well, what do we do? Uh-oh. I say to you, don't be the church of Laodicea. Amen. Don't be the church, you say. And a lot of people say, well, the church of Laodicea, they didn't have the gospel. They didn't know the truth. What? Can I give you a scripture real quick? Turn to Colossians. I want to show you something that was pointed out to me. Colossians chapter 4. Remember I said that water was pumped in from Colossae? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. I'll make up some of these names here. Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. The Bible says, "And Epaphroditus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, and that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis." Oh, that's another place that was pumping in water. Isn't that amazing? Notice this. He says, "Luke is the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea." Now notice this in verse 16. "And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." You see, the book of Colossians was not just written to the people at Colossae, but they pumped it in to the Laodiceans. You say, what does that have to do with anything? It's that they were given the Word of God, but they didn't take heed of it. Have you ever read the book of Colossians? You know what it talks about? The love of our Savior and how He saved us. And so they know the Word of God, but they chose to put their hands over their ears and their hands over their eyes and to just become a compromising church, a callous church, and a church that doesn't care. Folks, we're living in the last days. I realize that. I realize we're living in the last days. But can I remind you, we don't have to be a last day church. We can be a first century church in a 21st century. We don't have to be a church that's compromised. I'm glad we stand for something. I believe a great poet once said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That wasn't a country song. That was a piece of poetry. But we see in the last day that these churches are going to compromise. They're going to give up what they once held. It breaks my heart to see people, you know what? This is not important anymore. I've always said this, and I'm sure Brother McCormick can tell you more of this than I can. But in most churches, if you took away the music program, they'd never come back. Because it is the number one thing about churches. I tell you this, and I'm done tonight. Had a lady on visitation a while back. She said, "We really enjoyed your church." She said, "I just wasn't used to that long of preaching." I'm thinking, Brother Crawford's a pretty short preacher. He's only five. No. I said, "Man, what do you mean?" She says, "It seems that every church I've been to around here, it's about 45 minutes of music and then 10 to 15 minutes of preaching." She said, "That's not what I'm looking for." I said, "Well, amen." You know what's happening in our world today? We're flip-flopping the main thing. And we're focusing on things that really don't matter when compared to the Word of God. I'll tell you what, even in this last day, we're living in the day of Laodicea, and we still can be a church that can stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you can stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and be nice. Amen? You don't have to stand mean. Amen? You can stand with compassion. You can stand with fervent. You can stand and take a stance on things. But listen to me tonight. Is that, yeah, we're living in the day of the Laodicean church. But I'm telling you what, the more I look out and I see this day, the more my eyes are looking up. Because I see the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And He's coming soon. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll pray. And then we'll sing tonight, 118. Our Father, we love You. We thank You for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. Lord, as we look at the Laodicean church, we see an example of our day. But Lord, also I look out in our world today and I see churches that are standing strong. I see people that are still loving You and, Father, still taking a stance in a loving and compassionate way. And Lord, that thrills my heart. Lord, I thank You for Heritage Baptist Church. I thank You for the people that You've given us. Lord, we're ever grateful. And Lord, as we stand in this last day, Lord, we need Your help to help us stand. And Lord, we're going to give You praise and glory for all that You do tonight. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. If the rapture was to happen right now, they'd be left behind and eternally damned into a devil's hell. Lord, that is not our desire tonight, neither is it Yours. So, Father, we ask that You would draw them through the Holy Spirit, that they come and get saved tonight. But Lord, I pray also for the Christian. Lord, maybe in their life, maybe they see some Laodicean things creeping in. Maybe they're in neutral tonight. Lord, maybe they need to be put in gear, God, through You, through Your Word, through the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I just pray that You'd help them and help me, God, Lord, to continue to go forward and let You direct our lives. We thank You in all things. We say it all in Jesus' name.